Yeah, Lord, I pray that you would speak through my words this morning, that the things that I've got that are from you, Lord, I pray that people would hear them and hear your voice. And the things that are of me, I pray that people would just forget as not relevant. Lord, I pray that you'd speak through me this morning. Amen. Amen. So I wasn't quite sure how to start the talk this morning. Never quite sure how to open these things sometimes. Sometimes when you come to preach a sermon, you think, I've spoken that sermon before. That's a good bit in there. I know how that one works, how that one flows. I'm going to go with that one. A bit like a jigsaw where you kind of pull a few bits together and think, yeah, that's the word of the Lord this morning. This morning, I don't have that luxury because I was, about a month ago, I was just cogitating is the word I use. I don't know why I use that word. It's a stupid word. But for me, I cogitate a bit. I just kind of try and just think, okay, God, what's your word this morning? What do you want to say through me to the good folk this morning? What is on your heart for this church this morning? And sometimes you just get a verse of scripture and you think, right, I'm going to run with that. So hopefully I'm running with the right thing this morning. If I'm not, then you've got bowls of fruit, hopefully. You can throw them at me, because no. Joking. But for me, the word that I'm bringing this morning, I haven't used this text before when I've been preaching, so it's quite new to me. But it just felt like there was a message here for the church, and I hope I bring that with a bit of humility, because that's just, yeah, what I felt was right this morning. So I'm going to be looking at chapter in Isaiah chapter 54, and I'm going to read out verses 1-8, and I hope this morning will be both a challenge and an encouragement to you. So I'm going to start from verse 1 of Isaiah 54, and I'm going to read down to verse 8. Sing, barren woman, you who never bore a child, burst into song, shout for joy, you who were never in labour. Because more are the children of the desolate woman than of her who has a husband, says the Lord. Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes. For you will spread out to the right and to the left. Your descendants will dispossess nations and settle in their desolate cities. Do not be afraid. You will not be put to shame. Do not fear disgrace. You will not be humiliated. You will forget the shame of your youth and remember no more the reproach of your widowhood. For your Maker is your husband. The Lord Almighty is his name. The Holy One of Israel is your Redeemer. He is called the God of all the earth. The Lord will call you back as if you were a wife deserted and distressed in spirit, a wife who married young, only to be rejected, says your God. For a brief moment, I abandoned you, but with deep compassion, I will bring you back. In a surge of anger, I hid my face from you. For a moment, but with everlasting kindness, I will have compassion on you, says the Lord, your Redeemer. So just a bit of context here. The nation of Israel was at a very low point in its history. They'd had a succession of rulers who were wicked, who led them astray from God. The kingdom had been divided. First the northern and then the southern kingdom had fallen to their enemies. And the land had now been laid waste. The walls had been torn down. The temple where God had been worshipped was no more, been ransacked and destroyed by their enemies. Many of the people had been taken captive to Babylon. Just a small remnant remained. And when they looked around them, everything was gone. All they'd known, or the places where they'd worshipped, were laid bare. Most of the nation had been taken captive to Babylon. That Babylonian exile, that captivity, meant more oppression for Israel. It meant shame and disgrace, humiliation. And yet here, Isaiah starts to speak of something to come. He starts to speak of a new promise, a new dawn. And that is the word of promise and hope in this chapter. Speaking to a time in the nation of Israel when they are at the lowest ebb, when they felt the shame and humiliation of being taken away into captivity. And yet, into that hopelessness and despair, the prophet Isaiah speaks a word of life, a word of hope. And he speaks in quite an amazing way. And I just want to pick out a few themes this morning that I hope will speak to us. The prophet speaks a vivid picture of Jerusalem's restoration, comparing the city to a barren woman, one who will bear children again, one who has hope, a hope that is to come. And God is assuring his people in this chapter that their shame and their suffering will come to an end, that it will be redeemed. So the first thing that caught my attention here in this passage was the idea that faith sings. Faith sings in difficult circumstances. And all around us looks like it's gone to pot and we can't make sense of what's going on in our lives. Faith calls us to sing. That's the first word that Isaiah spoke here. Verse 1, sing, burst into song, shout for joy. Now the nation of Israel, probably not feeling very joyful at this point in time. If you look, for example, Psalm 137, that gives us an idea of the mood of the people. Psalm 137, just read a few verses. By the rivers of Babylon we sat and wept when we remembered Zion. There on the poplars we hung our harps. For there our captors asked us to sing songs. Our tormentors demanded songs of joy. They said, sing us the songs of Zion. How can we sing the songs of the Lord whilst in a foreign land? And yet here the prophet is saying, sing for joy. Sing of the hope that is to come. And throughout that chapter, we read of God's promise to his nation of Israel. The Lord will call you back as if you were a wife deserted. With deep compassion, I will bring you back. With everlasting kindness, I will have compassion on you. God is a loving God who has deep compassion for each of us. And here he sees the nation of Israel and he's saying, I have compassion on you. I'm calling you back. I'm going to restore you. He calls the nation of Israel to sing in a difficult time, to have hope and faith that actually what God said is going to take place. And at that point in time, they probably looked around them and thought, how can we sing? How can we be joyful in these circumstances? It's awful. We're in captivity. Our cities have been laid to waste. And yet the prophet comes to them and says, look beyond your circumstances. God's going to do a new thing. Sing in faith that actually what God said is going to happen. What God plans to do, no man can stop. Not even the nation of Babylon will be big enough to thwart the plans of the living God. The woman is called into song despite being barren. She's called to enlarge her tent, to make her dwelling place enlarged, even though at that point there's no children on the horizon. What a step of faith that is. Let's enlarge our tent. But where are the kids? We're taking a step of faith. God's promised us something. God said, let's do this. Are we prepared to take that step of faith? As Isaiah said to the barren woman, you don't have kids yet. They're on their way. Enlarge the place of your tent. The woman is called to sing whilst she's still barren. Circumstances haven't yet changed, but Isaiah sees what God is going to do. It's not just a song of hope. It's a song of faith. Trusting in what God has said will come true. We sing today because we have a hope. We have a hope that as Jesus came on that cross 2,000 years ago, as he died for our sins, as he was brought back to life again, that gives us access to the throne of God. That gives us a relationship with him. And that when our time on this earth has gone, we trust in faith that we will be with him again. The passage that we've read was speaking to someone in distress who was at a loss. And it's a theme that continues throughout Scripture where God speaks to those who are mourning, who are grieving. A few verses later, and this is a slight tangent, but bear with me. Isaiah chapter 61, we read about the year of the Lord's favour. And I'm going to read a few verses from that. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of despair. This is the verses that Jesus would use when he launched his teaching ministry. It's known as the Nazareth Manifesto, this passage. And Jesus quoted most of this word for word when he launched his teaching ministry in Luke chapter 4. For me, it's just that theme, that verse, to comfort all who mourn, provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, and the oil of joy instead of mourning. And just this sense that God does that with us. He's doing that for the barren woman. He's doing that for the nation of Israel. He still does that with us today as we give him our sadness, our mourning, our loss. He takes that and he gives us something better back. He gives us a crown of beauty. He gives us the oil of joy and a garment of praise as we give him those things that are weighing us down, that are causing us to grieve and be upset. As we give them to God, he takes them and he gives us something better instead. And that's the promise that is spoken to the nation of Israel here with this woman, this barren woman. It's an incredible, it's an incredible thing really, isn't it? Faith sings in difficult circumstances. We've got faith in a God who's going to do something amazing. And that's the hope of Isaiah 54, that God is going to do something new and something amazing in this situation that just seems so bleak and so desperate. So faith sings in difficult circumstances. Faith also grows in difficult circumstances. As I said, anyone who's making a dwelling place, and the nation of Israel would have been nomadic people, they would have had their tents, they would have set their tents up with stakes and cords, and they would have become semi-permanent structures. And this is what this lady in this illustration has got, this tent, and she's been asked to expand that tent, even though at the moment the children aren't there. God is saying, expand your tent, enlarge the place of your tent. What does it look like to expand? Well, I'm sure most of you have got one of these. Water bottle. Not quite filled up with water. How much water can I get in this?
Half a litre.
Half a litre? Yeah, probably. I can get as much water in this as the container allows me to get into it. Once it's filled up, there's no more water going in that because it's solid. It's not going to expand anymore, is it? Once the water's in this, that's it. It ain't getting any bigger, it's full. Now, if I was to use one of these, what do you think would happen if I filled this up with water?
Expand.
Good man. You're on the ball, I love that. Yes, expand. I'm not going to do that this morning, don't worry. But if I did, eventually it would burst. But apart from that, fill a balloon up with water, it will expand. It will keep growing and it can get quite large. Believe me, I've done this at home with the kids. It's good fun, it gets a bit messy. But the balloon will expand. It will get a lot bigger. I never quite understood the idea that you can't put new wine into old wineskins. I never quite found a way of illustrating that. Jesus' time, they used to keep wine in animal skins. They used to use newer animal skins because they were more expandable. They would grow with the wine. Whereas when a wine skin had been used over however many years, it became solid and rigid and it couldn't take any more wine because it had become a solid item. And I just thought this was for me. I was like, oh, I get it now. The water bottle is a bit like the old wine skin. It's not going to expand anymore. It's quite solid and it's quite fixed in its setup. The balloon will keep expanding and more water can be added into it. Which one are we like? When God comes to us with a challenge, and God comes to us and says, what are you going to do about this? This challenge that I've given you, this thing that I've put on your heart, this stepping out in faith, whatever it is that you feel passionate about and that God is laying on your heart, are you going to be able to step out in faith and expand like the balloon? Are you going to be able to expand in faith to what God is asking you to do? Or are you going to be rigid like the water bottle and not flexible? And the water that's in there, that's it, no more. Where's our heart today? Are we willing to say, yes, God, I'm going to expand for you. My faith will grow. It will take what you've got, like the balloon. Or is it like the old wineskin that's just going to stay rigid and the same, and it's not going to go anywhere? Stretching that muscle of faith is not easy. I don't know if anybody here goes to the gym. I do once in a while. I try and get fitter and use these things. This is quite a light one, so I can... There we go. So I can do this quite a bit. There we go. Having a workout now. It's good. If I do this too many times, my muscles start to ache. They feel, oh my goodness. And if I'm driving to the gym, because I couldn't possibly cycle there, because I drive to the gym. Anyway. And I've done enough of these sort of things. By the time I get back in the car again, I can barely move the steering wheel if I've had a really good workout, because my muscles ache, because I've stretched them and broken them a bit, and hopefully they're getting a bit bigger. If I've had a really lazy workout and just got a bit fed up with it, I won't even notice a thing, because I've only lifted a few weights. It's not really done much, has it? But if I've had a proper workout, my muscles will ache, and I know I've done some exercise. I think faith's a bit like that. It needs to be exercised and used, otherwise it doesn't do very much. But sometimes in using faith, that can hurt a bit as well, because we're using some muscles there, and you can think, oh, this is a bit of a risk. Am I prepared to take a bit of a risk? So faith grows. Let's have a faith that's prepared to expand and isn't just limited and constrained like in old wineskins. Let's look for those new wineskins. Let's embrace that new thing that God is doing and be willing to be open to his spirit and to go with that. And the final thought that I had, a similar idea around faith expands. And just thinking about this idea of the tent. It's a very literal image. As I said, the people who lived at that time were nomadics. They would live in tents. Some of those tents would become semi-permanent structures. That's just how they existed. And I've got, I'm going to get one out here. Tents are quite big things. This is one of my kids' tents. It's just with the roll mat and the blankets and the... There's loads of stuff in here. The camp blanket. Setting up a tent is, quite a big thing. They've got some camp badges there as well. Aren't there badges? Setting up a tent requires a bit of effort and a bit of work. But this is what Isaiah is saying to the nation of Israel. Expand your borders. Open up your tent. Don't just shut it up and lock down and bunker down and think we're just going to stay in our tent. Be prepared to open your borders. Be prepared to throw those tent gates, the front of the tent, open wide. Be prepared to let others come in to your tent. Let's get ready for what God is doing next. And there's a challenge in that. To enlarge your territory. To enlarge your area. Am I allowed to use an American phrase? I think it's an American phrase. Go large or go home. There's something of that challenge in this for me. Go large or go home. Are you either going to expand your tent and be open to what God has got for you and throw wide those tent curtains and open up your borders? Or are you just going to bunk down and just sort of almost go quiet and sit there quietly? I think God's heart for the nation of Israel was to go large, to enlarge your borders, to look to what he wanted to do. In the context of the day, there's different interpretations of what these verses may have meant. The initial context, when Isaiah was speaking to the nation of Israel, they would have seen that as coming back from exile. Open up your borders, get ready, you're coming home. That was what the word was to them. It was one of encouragement and hope. That was what the prophecy would have meant to them. It was an encouragement. You're going to come home again. You're going to come home to your dwelling places. Get ready for people coming back. But quite often with scripture, with prophecies in scripture, there's almost like a double meaning. It's like you get to the first meaning. It's like getting to the first mountain where you say, okay, that's the fulfillment of that word. And you get to that mountain and then you look beyond it and you see a second mountain. You see a further fulfillment, a greater fulfillment of that word. And I think one of the things that Isaiah was looking forward to here was actually the opening up of the tent of the church itself. The nation of Israel would welcome Gentiles into it. The church would open up its borders, not just for the Jews, but for the Gentiles, to open up the tent to those from all nations. I believe that was the greater fulfillment of that word. It wasn't just to the nation of Israel, you're coming back from Babylon. It was actually, this message of hope is for all nations, not just for the Jews, but for the Gentiles. And I believe there's still a message there for us today, to open up our borders, to be open to what God wants to do in us and in our churches. There's a couple of phrases in there that leapt out to me. Do not hold back. Don't hold back to what maybe you're comfortable with, what you're doing at the moment. Isaiah says, don't hold back. If you're going to expand your tent, do it properly. Go into it wholeheartedly. Don't leave any stone unturned, but go for it. Really, go for it. Don't hold back. And there's so many things in our lives that we hold on to. I couldn't possibly let go of that. Or something that we think, oh, maybe God doesn't want me doing that anymore, but I can't quite let go of it. There's a call here to not hold back. And when we're looking at expanding our tents and what God wants to do with us as a church and beyond, let's not hold back. Let's go in wholeheartedly. And as part of that, as part of expanding the tent, there's a call there to lengthen your cords and to strengthen your stakes. What does that mean? Well, in the context of making a tent, you're making it grounded and secure. You're putting in firm foundations. For us, when we go camping, we often use one of these. I don't know if anyone goes camping here. Great big mallet. There we go. Sat in the garage for a bit. This one's quite heavy. And loads of these tent pegs. You're bashing the tent pegs. And we've had to upgrade our tent pegs from tiny little ones that get bent in the rocks to ones that are quite decent, actually. You have to really whack them in the ground, especially if the ground's hard, to get through the stones. But that's just part of building a tent, putting down firm foundations. And a shovel helps as well sometimes, it does. As God asks us to expand our tent, let's make sure we've got firm foundations, that we're spending time in fellowship with each other, that we're spending time praying together, that we're spending time in his words, that we're putting down firm foundations. Our stakes are strong as we expand the cords of our tent. We're creating a secure environment for others that want to come into the church. So, those are the three points that I had. Faith sings. God asks us to sing in difficult times. To sing in faith that what he's spoken will come true. The nation of Israel was in a really difficult situation, and yet God said to sing. He said, sing in hope, sing in faith that what God has said will come true. And I believe God asks us to sing today, to sing in faith for what he wants to do in the future. Faith grows. Are we going to be a static water bottle that can't grow anymore, that's got reached a point of limitation and gone, okay, God, this is it? Or are we going to be like a water bottle, a water balloon, ready to expand with the new things that God's got for us? Are we going to be new wineskins or old wineskins? And then finally, faith expands, a bit like the tent. Will we expand our borders? Will we look to do new things when God says to us, okay, got something here for you, and you think, oh, I've got a sense that God's doing something here. Are we willing to expand our borders? Are we willing to throw those tent curtains open wide? Are we willing to go all in? Because that was part of the challenge, to not hold back. Or are we going to hold back? Are we going to strengthen our stakes, put them in the ground, bash them in to make sure that we're doing those things like reading the word, praying together, the things that give us a secure foundation? Yeah, so that was the word that God kind of laid in my heart, that verse. I hope there are some words of encouragement and challenge there to you, because certainly it's been a passage for me that I've not gone through before.
Lord, I thank you for your message this morning.
I pray that we would sing to you in difficult times, that we would look to you, Lord, that you'd let our faith grow and expand, that when you ask us to do something, that we will be able to expand to accommodate that, Lord, that our faith will grow as you come and speak to us, and that, Lord, we would put down firm foundations in you, that our tent pegs would go in that ground, Lord, that we would spend time with you in your word and in prayer, that we'd have firm foundations, Lord. Lord, I pray that anything that's holding us back, Lord, that you'd show us, that we'd be able to put that aside, that we'd be able to go all in and all out for you. Be with us, I pray, this week. Amen.